Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We got some great interviews coming up in the show, talking about DEI, AI, wealth taxes in California, stuff like that. Some great interview guests. We'll be doing Dumb Belief of the Week in Hour 3, as usual, with 10 great options to choose from that the Fed Haters Club is going to be voting on, including the few clips from Biden's State of the Union address. We'll also be talking about Biden's new $7.3 trillion budget proposal for 2025, because we have plenty of money, no problem. And you might not believe it, but the U.S. just prosecuted their first person for smuggling greenhouse gases from Mexico. Yeah. What? That's a real thing. But first, I got to tell you, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Digital cash with fees of less than a penny per transaction. Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And this is, of course, Liberty at Night on Free Talk Live. But don't forget that Charlie and I have a daily show called Good Morning Liberty. You can find that on your favorite podcast app, by the way, or by going to BernieLies.com. We give you the daily news from a libertarian mindset. That's Good Morning Liberty. Live liberty in the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week. Smash subscribe, smash follow, smash all of the things. And you'll get us a brand new episode. This is episode 1193, I think. Holy crap. That's too many episodes.
It's about time to retire.
I mean, next week we're going to be hitting episode 1200. 1200 episodes.
That's pretty crazy.
How have we not saved the world already by now?
You would think.
If everyone would just listen, take the 1200 episode challenge, then I think things would be so much better.
That's right.
We had a fully prepared episode, like a great, huge episode prepared for today. And then at 11 p.m. Central Time, the White House released
a.m.
They a.m. Yeah, sorry. a.m. Central Time. See, my time's all mixed up, you know. The White House and President Joseph R. Biden released their fiscal year 2025 budget proposal. And boy, is it a doozy. It's a lot. They got all these fact sheets out there, which means they're all lies the whole time. They've got several different pages.
Lie sheets.
Of fact sheets out here. And it's really bad. It's $7.3 trillion proposed budget. $7.3 trillion.
But first, before we dive into that, I got to tell you about the 2A summit coming up next weekend.
Ah, there you go.
I'll be speaking.
It's not next weekend, it's the weekend after. Oh, wait, that's this weekend. It is next weekend.
It is next
weekend. You see, my times are all messed up.
The 23rd. How about you just let me do it?
I've lost all muscle control.
Why don't you just let me do it? Shut your mouth.
Okay.
Shut your mouth. Shut it.
It's next weekend.
Shut your mouth. I got this. All right. Next weekend, March 23rd. I'll be speaking at the 2A Summit. Just me, by the way, because obviously Nate can't talk.
No,
you guys have heard it.
No, my time's all messed up.
No, Nate has an obligation to go to a good one, I think.
Yeah, don't say it, though.
I'm not. I'm just saying it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be speaking at the 2A Summit in Knoxville, Tennessee. Be there or don't.
Yeah, you should.
It's,
those are your two options, and I think you should choose one of them. Yeah.
But you can get more information by going to the 2A Summit. .com. That's the number two, the numerical dos.
The letter two. Yeah.
Letter two.
What's that from? No, there's something. Anyway.
Is that when Big Bird gets high or something?
Yeah, something like, I can't remember what it was.
There's a YouTube about it or something.
That's an old one. That's a really old one.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the letter two. The 2asummit.com. Go find out more information. Get registered. Come see the better half of Good Morning Liberty. What can I say?
So in 2019, our budget, I believe the closest figures I could find, now this is from the Federal Reserve, and sometimes those numbers differ a little bit from some of the White House numbers and all that, but according to them, our federal outlays, our expenses in 2019 were like $4.8 trillion. Like that's what we spent. I realize we're not there yet, but due to essentially the pandemic and everyone being okay with all the new money being spent, we're approaching doubling our budget from, by this time, the budget from 5 years before that. That's wild to me, doubling the federal budget. Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't fully doubled it, so it's going to take a couple more years to get there. But holy crap, is there nothing so permanent as a temporary government program? That is, truer words have hardly ever been never spoken. Okay? And so we get all these things from the pandemic, like
didn't we spend about $6.5 trillion though in 2020?
Yeah. 2020. And then we spent like more than that afterwards. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of money. So, and now all of a sudden, guess what?
You know,
we can't live without spending that much money. We just can't do it.
You know, the leftists like to talk about how big a billion is when it comes to these rich billionaires. Mm-hmm. Like how big a billion is. Do you guys know how big a trillion is? Like, just one of the trillions?
It's bigger.
Yeah.
Bigger. How many is it?
Well, it's 1,000 billions.
1,000.
Yeah.
Billions.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of billions.
That's a lot. How many times can you go back and forth?
I don't remember those stats anymore. You used to remember all that
random
crap. I think
it's 33 times.
I don't remember.
If I remember correctly.
It's something like that.
Yeah. That's in miles.
With a trillion. Yeah.
Trillion miles, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's been years since I looked at those kind of numbers. We should do that sometime, though, with this one.
Yeah, you should.
So, $7,300 billion budget proposal for 2025. And as I was about to say before we started the show, remember Biden in his State of the Union speech was saying, just imagine what we could do with $50 billion by instituting a billionaire minimum 25% tax. Just imagine, he names off all these things, and he's talking about $50 billion. They're proposing a $7,300 billion budget for 2025.
For 1 year.
For one, that's one single year.
And keep in mind also how he touted how he brought the deficit down.
He did. Yeah. Well, this one apparently is going to bring the deficit down even more, I guess. Which is amazing because the numbers they use for how much Trump added to the deficit, they're going to bring that. The finagling with the numbers are always, of course, if they do all these things without all the tax cuts, and what if we do all the tax cuts, and what? And then they just give you these basically budget on top of fake number on top of fake number, and here's how much we're going to save you guys inside of this proposal to spend way more money. And things like this only work if you – they only work in your mind – if you believe that the government can just spend money and that it's going to be helpful for people and that it's not going to affect anything. Like, if you think that the government can spend money without it having any effect on your life, I don't mean without you getting the money that they're spending, but that they can tax all of this money from billionaires and corporations and millionaires and that's not going to affect you, you're wrong. I'm sorry. I understand why you might think that. But the government is going to take this out of the productive side of the economy. $7.3 trillion if they are going to spend that. Now, they're not going to take all that because there's going to be a deficit, of course. But as Milton Friedman said, and it said a lot of times, the true tax on the American people is what the government spends.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even what...
It doesn't matter whether they print it or take it directly from you.
Doesn't matter if they're going to spend $7.3 trillion and they only tax out of the economy $5 trillion. Now, yeah, we got a $2.3 trillion deficit at that point, which I think the projection is a $1.8 trillion deficit, actually, for 2025 if they go
with
this.
You could at least double that.
But what the true tax is what they spend, because when, you know what, I'll just have him tell you. We'll just have him tell you. It's only 43 seconds. Here you go.
The true tax that the American people pay is what government spends. If the federal government spends $61 billion more than it takes in, who do you suppose pays the difference? You pay it. I pay it. We pay it as taxpayers. The only thing is, instead of calling that a tax, we pay it in the form of a hidden tax called inflation, or in an even more deeply hidden tax called government borrowing. But both of those are forms of taxation. So nobody has proposed to reduce taxes. What they have proposed is to shift the form of taxation, to rely somewhat less on such direct taxes as income taxes, and somewhat more on such indirect taxes as inflation and borrowing.
There you go. All right. That's pretty good, Milton. I agree.
Yeah.
I think he's right about that. So it doesn't matter.
Could you imagine only having a $61 billion deficit, by the way?
$61 billion because that was like a really big number.
Yeah.
In 1975 or whenever it was that they were doing this video.
Well, you know, 7's a lot smaller number than 61.
That's true. Much smaller. Before we go any further, I'm going to tell you guys about our newest sponsor, Noble Gold Investments. The government punishes you for keeping your wealth or your money, your cash in a savings account. And how do they do that? Because of inflation. Inflation is a tax on savers. It's a systemic erosion of your wealth. Items that cost $10 today will cost $15 tomorrow, but your savings account will still have the same amount of money, and it's losing its purchasing power. Trust me, I've done it before. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. This is exciting because gold can be a hedge against inflation. It remains steady when inflation's on the rise. The dollar's in turmoil. It could be a defense against economic downturn. All that good stuff. Money, you know, unlike money, gold can't be printed. It's your shield in times of economic uncertainty. To find out more, go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. Let's get back to the show. Okay, so let's go into the actual, there's an article on this from the Washington Examiner. White House unveils $7.3 trillion tax and spend budget for 2025. Clearly, Washington Examiner is a far-right fascist publication or whatever people would say. I don't know. The White House on Monday released a proposed budget for 2025 that contains a wish list of tax increases and spending proposals favored by Democrats, of course. The budget includes $7.3 trillion in spending and a $5.5 trillion in tax revenue, bringing the deficit for 2025 to nearly $1.8 trillion. This is a guy who was just boasting about, you know, cutting the deficit, of course. The budget would significantly raise taxes from roughly 18% of GDP to over 20% of GDP. It would not close the deficit in the 10-year budget window and would see the federal debt held by the public rise as high as 106%. Of GDP.
By the way, the tax will never go over 20% of GDP. It's going to stay between the 17 to 19% range. It always has and always will.
That's basically what it's now. We are in the highs right now. We're roughly around actually 19% of GDP right now. The historical average is around 17. That's pretty much what it stays around. So we are at all-time highs. We've already talked about this in the past. We're already at all-time high amounts of taxation when it comes to the percentage of GDP and when it comes to the amount of money that the government is taking in taxes. Like all those things are at all-time highs. Why does it matter what the percentage of GDP is? Well, because that's the productive capacity of our economy. That's what we produce, you know, and then they're going to take a percentage of it through various different forms of taxation, of course, not all one specific kind of taxation, but they're going to take that and then they're going to spend more than whatever amount it is that they just took. And then they're going to have to try and pay for that later on, either with inflation or with paying back whatever debt that they borrowed from people. And so that number does matter, of course, because the true tax is what the government spends. It's got to get paid for somehow. And people think that if you have the billionaires pay for it or whatever, if you have corporations pay this minimum tax of 21%, I think is the number that he's talking about now.
It looks like they want to raise it
from
21 to 28.
So that's how they fix that. We had an issue when we listened to the State of the Union. We said, well, if they're going to do a minimum tax of 21%, well, that would mean they're not going to allow for any deductions because the current tax rate is 21%. Meaning everyone's just going to pay that with no deductions. What they want to do is raise it to 28 and then allow, yes, for some deductions, but everyone has to pay a minimum rate of 21%, no matter what it is that you spend. And the thing is, Corporations don't pay taxes. Corporations' customers pay taxes because taxes are just an expense that a business pays. And people like to think that you can just tax the corporations and they're going to pay it, but where do the corporations get their money? You're going to tax the billionaires and make them pay? Well, where do the billionaires get their money? Like, this is all through providing products and services to people in the economy. That's where they get their money. And so if the government's just going to come in and take a portion of that, we think they're just going to take it, wind down, say, okay, well, I guess I'll make a whole lot less money than I was making. You know, that's fine. Daddy government says I'm going to make them. No, they're going to raise their prices up so they can keep making the same percentages they've been making. It's pretty easy, y'all. So anyway, Biden wants to raise the corporate minimum tax from 15 to 21 and introduce more stringent limits on corporations' ability to deduct wages of high-paid employees. According to the White House, I believe he said they want to cap that at $1 million in total compensation. So right now, like, you can write off what a CEO's total compensation is. I don't know what the cap is. I think maybe it's $20 million or something right now, whatever it is. He wants to cap that at $1 million. So even if your CEO, say your CEO of Walmart got $22 million in total compensation, you can only deduct $1 million of that off of it, which is just great. Why don't we just try to depress the wages of CEOs? That way people have a harder time going out and getting the best people to run their companies. That's going to have no effect on people in the economy at all.
Well, it'll finally make everything fair, Nate.
Oh, yeah, fairness. Mm-hmm. That's right. Biden has made it his goal to increase taxes not only on corporations, but also on the wealthiest. The president has vowed not to raise taxes on those making less than $400,000 per year, although he has come out fervently in favor of soaking the very wealthy. Congress, though, has blocked most of those efforts. That's something important to remember. This is a budget proposal. For these things to happen, Congress will have to pass laws to do all of these things. So while it's fun for us to talk through this, and it does give you a little bit of, it shines a little bit of light on just how crazy the people working at the White House are and the people doing the budgets are, and Biden, not that he has anything to do with this because he's a houseplant at this time, barely alive. In the latest budget request, the White House also calls for a 25% minimum tax for billionaires. That provision would only affect the wealthiest 0.01% of taxpayers, according to the White House. We talked about this on Friday also after the State of the Union. For a 25% minimum tax for billionaires, you're going to have to do an unrealized wealth tax, unrealized capital gains tax, to be able to get to 25%. And that's probably not something that's going to happen, but do keep in mind they're releasing this in an election year to try and show people all the great things that they will get if you reelect Biden for another four more years. Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I think Trump should stop campaigning against Biden and campaign against Kamala Harris. I think that would be a bigger play for him.
And you think so?
Because, I mean, listen, dude. How long? Seriously, look. How long is Biden actually going to live?
As long as you're clear about it.
Let's be clear. We should. I mean, really? You think Biden's going to serve a second term?
No.
I think the only reason he's here right now is to try and get them through the election, because no one would go and vote for Kamala Harris. But I think
you still think once he gets the nominee, he's going to drop out.
I would like to keep that conspiracy theory out there. Yes, I would like to keep it out there that at the convention they end up switching over to someone else. Maybe it depends on what the polls show at that time. Where are we? Raising the corporate tax rate to 28% would raise some $1.35 trillion over the next decade or so, which is $135
billion. It's $135
billion. A year. And they're talking about spending $7,300 billion next year. According to the administration's latest budget projections, which were released Monday, while the billionaire minimum tax plan would bring in about $500 billion, over that same period.
Which is 10 years.
They do everything based on 10 years. What's also
so now
great,
we're up to $185 billion.
Yeah.
In added taxes, by the way, if they're able to collect all that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're somehow the government has projected things finally.
Yes.
Perfectly.
For the first time
Which,
ever.
By the way, companies, people get projections wrong all the time. Government seems to grossly underestimate. I mean, gross. Like, my God, if you were the CEO of a company or CFO and you had these grossly underestimated budgets all the time. Mm-hmm. Sorry, overestimated projections.
Overestimated incomes and underestimated expenses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You would be fired. You wouldn't be able to find a job.
Well, yeah, you're running the company.
But let's say
$2 trillion in the hole every year.
Let's say that the government actually gets this one right. And by raising these taxes and the wealthy people aren't going to find a way out of it, the corporations aren't going to find a way out of it. You know, but that so far we've seen now an extra $185 billion per year.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me
that gets us to,
you.
I don't even, not even 10% yet of the extra spending.
That's I think that's $20 billion a day that they'd be spending if they actually enacted this budget. 17 has been a number we've been using because that's what they've been doing for a bit. So we're moving it up to $20 billion a day. Mm-hmm. So from what you just said, they're talking about $185 billion. So that's nine days.
That's only, by the way, that's only getting to like 10% of the projected deficit of $1.8 trillion.
Yeah.
By the way. So
I'm sure they have a plan. Also in the proposed budget are housing provisions. Housing affordability is at record lows as mortgage rates remain prohibitive, and housing supply languishes. To address this, the administration has proposed a few changes, although critics say it would do little to help housing supply and paradoxically could even make the situation worse by dialing up demand.
Weird.
Yeah. That's what would happen.
It could even make the situation worse. Like,
yeah, housing prices are too high and we don't have enough supply of houses. You know what we're going to do? We're going to give everyone a housing gift card. Here you go. Here's $10,000. That should fix the problem. Among the proposals is providing a $5,000 tax credit for middle-class first-time homebuyers for 2 years, described as a form of mortgage relief. The president is also asking Congress to approve a $10,000 credit for those who sell their starter homes. The administration.
Would this be a starter home? My first one?
I don't know. I don't know what qualifies as a starter home.
Yeah.
Mine's a starter home, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know if yours is or not.
It's the first home I've built.
This is the house you started with.
Yep.
You know?
This is my starter house.
Technically a starter home.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Other than that, I was just getting, you know, ravaged by landlords.
Yeah. Biden's budget.
Renting from them, you know.
The budget also calls for a national comprehensive. You see, you want things to be comprehensive. Paid family and medical leave program, providing up to 12 weeks of leave for eligible workers. That's something the government should be paying for. That would cost some $325 billion over the next decade or so. And, of course, we got a whole lot more to talk about on this, but we are coming up on a quick break, and we'll be talking about the rest of this crazy $7.3 trillion budget. First guy in the U.S. to be prosecuted for smuggling greenhouse gases, Dumb Bleep of the Week, a couple interviews, a whole lot more to come on Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
USA News Update. Special Counsel Robert Hur, who conducted the investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents, faced scrutiny on Capitol Hill Tuesday from both Democrats and Republicans. Democrats pressed Hur during the hearing for characterizing Biden as an elderly man with a poor memory, while Hur defended his report, stating the assessment was relevant. Republicans questioned Hur about his decision not to charge Biden for possessing documents. Inflation is lasting longer than expected by economists. February's Consumer Price Index, indicating the cost cost of goods and services rose by 0.4% for the month and 3.2% from the previous year. The dispute surrounding a contentious education law in Florida is nearing resolution as the state reached a settlement this week regarding the parental rights in education law. The agreement specifies that the legislation only limits discussions on gender identity and sexual orientation within instructional settings. John Schaefer, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Liberty loving friends, this is Liberty Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We are back. We've been going through this $7.3 trillion 2025 budget proposal from the White House because apparently we have plenty of money. As I guess we just need to steal the right amount of money from the people in the U.S. No problem whatsoever with that. Before we get back into this, I'm going to remind everyone that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash with fees of less than a penny per transaction. Dash is made for spending. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. And of course, once again, before we get back into it, we're going through some of the items in this 2025 budget. If you want to hear us talk about stuff like this every single day, like you're just not getting enough in this Tuesday night show from Liberty at Night, then you can go find Charlie and I's podcast, Good Morning Liberty, on your favorite podcast app. Or you can search BernieLies.com in your browser, and that's going to bring up links to everything. You can watch videos of the episodes and tons of other videos and find us on all of the social media that there is out there. Good AM Liberty on X or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and even TikTok until it gets banned, I guess. So make sure you go find Good Morning Liberty. Let's get back into it. I hate all of the 10-year projections. The reason I hate all of this...
That would probably cost $325 billion a year.
Yeah. The reason I hate all of these 10-year projections is because they like... It's like assuming that no one's going to say we should do a new program in a couple of years.
But do you know why they do that, though?
Why?
Because everything's supposed to balance within 10 years.
I got you.
So that's what they always say, like, oh, well, we're on a 10-year balanced budget cycle. But then it never... Go back 10 years from now. You actually have to go back 30 years the last time we had a balanced budget.
Yeah.
More than 30 years at this point.
What I hate about it is that it assumes this idea that we're not going to find new things that Congress thinks we should spend money on in the next 10 years. So giving these 10-year projections and here's what it's going to look like, it's all completely irrelevant. When new administrations come in, new Congresses come in, new demands from the American people pop up, we all know there's going to be new bills and new programs.
Isn't that what like a discretionary fund is for, like in your house?
I guess,
right, you have like an emergency fund or like a discretionary fund.
Yeah.
Or you have a fund sitting there that says, okay, if something pops up that we didn't expect in our budget, in our projections for our expenses this year and our living situation and condition, we have something we could tap into. But no, the problem is the government spends all of that.
Yeah, we have to borrow our discretionary fund also.
Yeah.
The proposal also includes expanding the child tax credit to the supercharged level it was temporarily at as part of the pandemic era America Rescue Plan Act, which passed with no Republican support. The current tax credit is $2,000 per child. The 2021 Democratic legislation raised it to $3,600 for children under six and $3,000 for older children, with perhaps the biggest change being the removal of an income threshold for those who receive the funds. Thus, a family with no income or head of household working would also receive the full $3,600 or $3,000 payments. That tax credit sunsetted at the end of 2021. Reinstating that child tax credit would cost an estimated $310 billion through 2034. I mean, if it helps one child, Charlie.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, our children are hungry.
Yeah. In October 2023, the administration transmitted an emergency supplemental request for managing the southwest border and migration totaling $13.6 billion. The White House said, oh, I skipped a paragraph up here. It includes funding to hire 1,300 additional Border Patrol agents, 1,000 additional Customs and Border Protection officers, and additional 1,600 asylum officers and support staff, and nearly $850 million for cutting-edge detection technology at ports of entry. Of course, if I were just a Republican, I would say that doesn't do anything to solve the problem of the fact that people are just coming across willy-nilly, and then you got to hire more people to deal with that. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the people coming across are all looking for those ports of entry.
Yeah, they can't find them. They won't put lights around them, like flashing lights around those things. So there's several of these fact sheets out here. Like, we don't have time to read through all this stuff. But just so you know, it's wild propaganda that comes from stuff on the White House.
Gobbledygook.
It's ridiculous.
That's what my grandmother used to say. It's a bunch of gobbledygook.
They talk about expanding access to quality, affordable health care. They say health care should be a right, not a privilege. So they're talking about expanding Obamacare, essentially, at this time. Medicaid programs,
stuff
like that.
Incredible success of the Affordable Care Act.
Very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Lowering drug prices.
You know, all of the nonprofit health insurance companies of the Affordable Care Act created.
Yeah, they were very successful.
They all went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them.
But at least they tried.
And then United is as rich as ever.
Yeah. Lowers drug prices and expands access to prescription drugs.
Unless they quit making them.
Exactly. Unless they rip it right out of the hands of the sick children, like up there in Massachusetts, you know, stuff like that. The Inflation Reduction Act. Rebates and $2,000 out-of-pocket prescription drug cost cap beyond Medicare and into the commercial market. Just so you know, these cost caps, all it means is that it caps the out-of-pocket cost for you. The company still gets paid. They just cap your out-of-pocket costs, and then the government pays the rest of it. So while they portray these things as handing it to Big Pharma, like, it just caps what you pay into it, and then you still pay into it because the government uses your money to still pay for the rest of it. They just expect that you're going to be an idiot about it or whatever. You think it's someone else's money that's getting used to pay that.
No.
So these little cost capping things are really good for PR releases, but of course they're still paying for the drugs. They're still trying to negotiate drug prices and make them lower, but of course that's going to also lead to less drugs being available and less new drugs being available too. Lowers child care costs for hardworking families. What if you're like you just work like normal?
Yeah.
You know, not hard.
A medium working family.
Yeah. You know, like you work a couple days a
soft
week,
working family.
The president is committed to providing relief to hardworking families. His budget creates a historic new program under which working families with incomes up to $200,000 per year would be guaranteed affordable, high-quality child care from birth until kindergarten. With most families paying no more than $10 a day and the lowest income families paying nothing, this would provide a lifeline to the parents of more than 16 million children. The budget also includes $8.5 billion for the Child Care and Development Block Grant, which allows states to expand child care assistance and serve over 2 million low-income children.
It's for the children.
It is for the children. Now, I take issue with the way that they word things. Like, most families will be paying no more than $10 a day. Low-income families will be paying nothing. We started off the show by saying that for these things to work, for you to read this and be like, oh, that sounds good, you have to believe that the government can just spend money, that they can tax money out of the economy from corporations or billionaires or people making over $400,000 a year. You have to believe that they can do all of that. They can borrow money. They can print money. And that it's not going to cost you anything. And for you to be able to read this and say these sound like good ideas, you have to say, well, I bet that 18% inflation since 2020 had nothing to do with the money the government was spending at all. I mean, it has nothing to do with the printing that they were doing to cover their huge deficits every year. I bet that was just probably grocery stores raising their prices to price gouge people. And so if you believe things like that, then you can read a paragraph and actually believe what it says. But if you think for a minute or you have just like a baseline basic economics knowledge, then you know that there's no such thing as a family paying no more than $10 a day or low-income families paying nothing. At all.
Somebody's paying something.
Somebody's paying something. Even low-income families are purchasing products at a grocery store. You know, even low-income families probably got a car or they got gas somewhere or they do something where they pay for goods and services. And things like this, all they do is raise the price of all of our goods and services in the economy.
It's just shifting.
It is.
So, yeah, you're not paying that daycare bill, but you probably paid it in food prices or energy prices or rent prices. It's just shifting. Where that money is going, you're still spending the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going a different place.
Let's see. Strong foundation for families. So they want to do universal pre-K and Head Start because that's...
Which studies show it does nothing.
But some studies show it does. So you got to look at those studies
and
go off of what they say. You know, there are certain studies that say there's no correlation between the two. And there are studies that say, well, obviously it had a good effect on people. And there are those that will say it's just correlation and causation. And those are not the same thing.
Well, I was told Parker got autism because I didn't read to him enough.
Oh, yeah.
So read to your kids.
So people. Go. There you go. Read to them.
Yeah. Otherwise, I might get autism.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing that I hate that they do. They talk about cutting taxes for families with children and American workers. The way that they talk about cutting taxes is by doing these child tax credits. So my question is, why wouldn't they just cut taxes? If you're cutting taxes, then why aren't you cutting taxes? That's my question.
Instead of giving like a refund.
Instead of giving a credit from other people's taxes.
Yeah.
There's a big reason that they would not just want to cut taxes. It's because then they would show people where the money comes from. And instead, what they want to do is they want to charge you money and then give you money back from other people's pockets or from your own pocket also that they took out of your paycheck all year. And then it makes these child tax credits, they can go away, they can come back, they can go away. You know what would happen if they cut?
Well, and then these people get a bigger refund.
Yeah. You know what would happen
if
they cut people's taxes? They wouldn't be able to raise them afterwards because people will be like, hey, I've been paying 2%, you know, you guys charge me 2% because that's the tax bracket I'm in. You cut my taxes. What, and now you want to, because this child tax credit thing is gone, you want to raise my taxes back up to 18%? I don't want you raising my taxes back up. So instead of actually doing a tax cut for people, they just do it in the form of some type of a credit that they give you afterwards because that's easier to take away. It's the same reason that instead of giving everyone a raise, say, when the corporate tax cuts went through. People say, oh, they gave people bonuses or, you know, they did stuff like that. Because if you give someone a raise, it's tough to ever decrease their pay back down afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing. If you give someone a tax cut, it's tough for you to ever raise it back up afterwards without losing your elections. So I don't like them calling it a tax cut when they're not cutting taxes. They're just doing tax credits for people. Let's see. What else have we
got? Also, if you pay no taxes, if you're getting a refundable tax credit for children, then you actually make money.
Net receiver.
Paying any taxes.
Yeah.
At all.
Which is, I can't remember what bracket it is. I think it's the bottom quintile. The effective tax rate is, negative 2.2%, something like that.
They get money back. Those,
Oh, yeah. So, that's not, according to Saws and Zuckman, you know, that's not true.
That skews the study.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we talked about the affordable housing supply thing. This is a completely ridiculous idea. The government, it all comes back to the same thing. Where's the government going to get the money to put back into these specific programs? Where's the money come from?
You.
You! It comes from you. And you're like, oh, no, because I make less than $400,000 a year. Do you buy things from corporations? Then it comes from you. Do you buy any? Have you seen inflation? Did you see prices go up over the last few years? It comes from you. That's where it comes from.
Always.
Always comes from you. And they've successfully been able to get, I guess, a large enough group of people to think that it doesn't come from them. And that's why they go so hard on this idea that inflation was price gouging. You see, because it can always come back to inflation. Maybe you're not going to be affected by any of these taxes or whatever, you know,
directly.
But you're still going to be affected by inflation. And so when it comes to inflation, they have to convince you that that was just price gouging and that they didn't actually have to raise their prices. That gives them the last little bit of cover that they needed to be able to just spend whatever amount of money that they want to spend.
I don't know if it's genius or there are that many people that, you know, to think, especially with some of these people that have degrees even, that they would be smart enough just to ask one more question. You know, they just, they leave off that question.
Mm-hmm.
They leave off the final why.
Yeah.
You know, if you just ask why one more time.
Well, it's, the thing is, everyone thinks it's safer to go along with this because you think that you're going to be getting, you know, it's not that people are getting your money, you know. You think that you're going to be able to get all this stuff by getting that guy's money over there. And so it's going to be good for you. But the problem is, he's getting yours. So it doesn't work out.
Yeah,
I just paraphrased a really good Milton Friedman quote right there. But that's what's happening. And, okay, let's see what else we got. Affordable rent through the Housing Choice Voucher Program. Now, when they emphasize that...
I thought the left was against vouchers.
Rent choice.
Oh, okay.
No, you know what we need to do? We just need public rent. We don't need to do... that's a good... Hold on a sec. I got to remember this. Let me take a screenshot of that. Okay. Yeah. Just so we can remember that right there. Housing Choice Voucher Program. Why not just build public out? Why would you let people take their voucher to wherever they want to live?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. That's bad for the people to build low-cost housing.
It is. You know? That's bad for the public housing that already exists.
They're going to put them out of business. Okay. That doesn't do anything to address the affordability problems. They do a lot of these housing, affordable rent. Then they talk about affordable college and stuff like that. But none of the things they talk about address why the things cost what they cost. Why are the prices so expensive on all these things? Instead, they say we're going to make them affordable by giving you back some of your money that you paid in taxes to go towards this stuff. And then they say they've made it more affordable after that. But they have not talked about why those things are so expensive in the first place. Like college is a really good example. They talk a lot about how they're going to spend a bunch of money towards college and do more Pell Grants and things like that. But not a single word in any of this stuff addresses why college is so expensive. And college is so expensive because the government already puts way too much money in the college.
We should have college vouchers.
There you go. Basically do have college vouchers, essentially.
Yeah.
I guess it's okay once you get up to the colleges. So they got improved college affordability. Once again, they're not improving the cost of college. They're improving your cost of college by giving you more of your own money that you're going to pay back throughout your life. And so that doesn't actually solve the problem of why college is so expensive. In fact, it's going to make it more expensive. And it's going to make it harder for people to go without trying to get government money because they just increase the cost of it.
And these endowments of these massive universities will just keep getting bigger.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Why aren't the colleges demonized the way Amazon is demonized?
It's because the colleges are the ones teaching that.
Sure. Why doesn't the college teach college students to demonize the college?
Yeah, of course they wouldn't.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Lowers
the people who's making stuff. It's their fault.
So anyhow, there's all kinds of stuff in this, in all these fact sheets. There were six or seven different fact sheets that we could go through, and I'm sure people are going to dig more stuff out of. The bottom line is, this is a ridiculous budget, $7.3 trillion, good Lord.
Don't think it'll happen.
No, it's not going to be that much, but it's what they do is it's like a negotiating tactic. Like, we want all this stuff, and then people are going to fight for some of it. They'll get some of it. And they'll find a way to spend close to $7.3 trillion. It's just not going to be on the specific things that are in this list. It's going to be half-assed versions of some of these things, and it's still going to cost the same amount of money.
Yeah, you know, they'll spend at least $6.5 trillion.
Before you go, I gotta.
And we're not taking in 5.5.
We just got into the energy.
We're taking about $5 trillion.
We just got in the energy section. I know you got a hard stop, and I wanted to talk about this today before it gets buried down in our stack. This is ridiculous. A San Diego man is the first in the U.S. to be charged with smuggling greenhouse gases.
What? Is this illegal?
Well, they're calling it smuggling greenhouse gases.
Did they use someone's Snapchat picture there?
I don't know what this is. So he's smuggling greenhouse gases into the U.S. from Mexico. I don't know if you brought it in balloons or like what.
One of those big capture masks
that
you invented.
Go ahead, Charlie.
All right, a man has been arrested and charged in San Diego for smuggling greenhouse gases into the United States, marking the first prosecution of its kind in the country. From the U.S. Attorney's Office in Southern California, Michael Hart, a 58-year-old San Diego resident, is accused of bringing hydrofluorocarbons, chemical compounds commonly used for refrigeration and air conditioning, from Mexico to the U.S. and selling them for a profit, which violates regulations set in 2020 to slow climate change under the American Innovation and Manufacturing Act. The AIM Act gives the Environmental Protection Agency the authority to reduce production and consumption nationwide of hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, since they have been identified as one of the most potent greenhouse gases emitted into the atmosphere and contributing to rising temperatures. Now, is this the light bulbs?
No.
HFCs?
No, those are, this is Freon.
Oh.
No.
That you couldn't get in your air conditioner.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about this.
That's right.
Yeah.
At this point, smuggling HFCs into the U.S. is illegal, and officials are working to phase down new manufacturing of the compounds within the country. More restrictions on the use of certain HFCs will take effect next year. Hart faces 13 separate charges, including conspiracy, importation contrary to law, multiple counts of selling imported merchandise contrary to law, and criminal forfeiture. He could face decades in prison if convicted on any one of the charges related to illegal importation. Quote, it is illegal to import certain refrigerants into the United States because of their documented and significantly greater contribution to climate change, said Assistant Attorney General Todd Kim of the Justice Department's Environment and Natural Resources Division. We are committed to enforcing the AIM Act and other laws that seek to prevent environmental harm. This guy's also going to go away for a long time just on the sheer fact of setting precedent to make sure other people don't do it. My God.
Decades in prison.
Climate change.
For smuggling Freon, and it's bad for the environment, according to some studies. And so I'm not even saying that it's good for the environment or whatever, but they've decided that this is such a big problem that it warrants arresting this guy, charging him with 13 separate, I guess, felonies is what it would be, that the EPA, by the way, made the rules on. They passed this law in December of 2020. Trump was still president, December 2020. They passed this law, and then the law directed the EPA to make the rules. And so the EPA made the rules, and they are now following those rules. And this guy could face decades in prison because he wanted to bring Freon. Now, why would you want to bring Freon in the country? Because there is a massive market for Freon in this country.
You probably would have bought some.
I would have. I looked online for Freon. It was very expensive to buy.
You could have gone to prison.
So the rules, no, you can buy Freon in America, but it has to be Freon. It was already in America. It can't be newly made. So you can sell the existing supply of Freon that there is in America. Mm. but it's been banned.
And it's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's very expensive. Yeah. So my AC unit went out.
You should have bought the dip.
Because a coil broke and it lost all the Freon. They said, yeah, we can replace the coil for like $100. But the Freon will cost about $5,000 to replace it. So at that point, I'm talking over $5,000 to fix my existing air conditioning unit.
That would have cost a couple $100 just a few years ago.
$200 for them to fix it. Instead, I spent $8,000 on a new unit because why would you spend $5,000 to replace a coil and refill an old unit that's been there since 2006 when you can just spend $8,000 and get a brand new unit? You know, that's going to save me so much money on electricity probably after I get that.
And on your car insurance.
Yeah, by switching to this HVAC unit. Yeah. And I've had nothing but problems with this unit, by the way, since I got it. It's been total BS.
Really?
My heat hardly... I mean, it goes out every year. It's been terrible.
It's still under warranty?
And so... The reason this guy's doing
this... Do you have warranty on that?
Yeah, they haven't charged us anything for fixing it, but they've had to come out several times.
Good.
The reason it's so expensive is because they can only sell the existing supply of Freon, and people are trying to smuggle it in from Mexico so they can sell it. You can buy Freon, you just can't import it from other countries and sell it. It can only be what's already here. And why is this such a big market? Because there are millions of people with air conditioners that were made before the year 2015 or whenever it was that don't want to go buy a new HVAC unit and spend $7,000 or $8,000 to fix something that should have cost $200 10 years ago to fix.
That's right.
And this guy could end up going to prison for decades.
He's going to. It's going to set an example.
To try, and I know he's trying to make money, but to try and help someone like me who didn't want to spend $8,000 on a new HVAC unit that would have wanted to buy Freon from somewhere on the market to save that money.
Love you, bye.
Charlie's out of here. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that. Anyway, coming up, we're going to have a couple great interviews. One of them is about DEI, where it could be right and where it's gone wrong. Then we're going to talk about AI and a wealth tax proposal in California. And then, of course, Dumb Leap of the Week on Liberty Tonight.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.